You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
You know, the Blitz gets the reputation of being the arrogant show. They call listeners D-weeds.
Yeah.
What is AJ doing in here right now?
He's cleaning the floor.
Because it was left a mess.
He went from afternoon show host to janitor. Okay?
Just like that. So I don't want to hear anyone ever call this man arrogant. Certainly you can call him negative.
Wait a minute.
That's real. But
okay, and while you're doing this, cutout of Courtney is unloading AJ's cutout that they put on remote. Okay.
Why did they do that?
Not arrogant. Okay. No arrogance involved.
When
there?
John was PD at 1560, he never cleaned any of the floors.
And guess what? I didn't have too a cutout of myself.
What's the explanation okay. for?
No, you ran for president.
Okay.
You literally ran for president.
Todd did that. He was my
Those
campaign manager. Okay.
You did a commercial for presidency.
Well, I did. I had to knock papers out of David Gow's hands.
Out of everybody's hands. But what's the reason for the cardboard cutout when the actual human beings are at the remote? So people can take pictures next to the cardboard cutouts?
I guess. Why would you want, instead of just taking pictures with them?
Maybe they refuse to take pictures.
Maybe they're too uppity, those two. To take pictures with regular people.
Uppity, that's not a word generally used.
So, guys, okay, everybody, we got to root for the Falcons and the Patriots tonight.
Why do we have
to root
for them?
Get this. So at a place I go to, I frequent, there are 50 of us. We put in $10, and you pick every game against the spread. And I am right now tied. Well, and I'm tied with Chad, actually. And he's got a one-game lead, but he's got Green Bay tonight. If Atlanta wins and they score 52 or less points, I win the whole pot, which is about $500. But get this. This is how I did it. I picked all my games, and I finished 41st.
Hmm.
Then I put in another one with the exact opposite picks, and that is in second place. And that is going to win me the money.
Hey, whatever it takes.
That's right. I picked opposite of everything I thought, and I am in second.
You didn't change them at all. You just went complete opposite.
Well, I did. I changed one, Cincinnati. I kept that one.
You did?
I kept that one, and I kept the Lions pick, so it would have been, you know, I would have still been in second place because I changed two. But otherwise, I picked opposite every game, and I am in second place right now. Who had yesterday the Giants covering against the Rams?
Honestly, I did just playing the 0-3 angle. The 0-3 angle against the spread, you had Cowboys, loser, Texans, loser, Eagles, right? Eagles won them.
Eagles won. Eagles, who had them?
That was a cover. So Eagles were a cover. Giants were a cover, and the last team
Chargers
was the
were a cover. Cleveland was a cover. Cincinnati was a cover. Carolina was a cover. Minnesota was a cover.
All those dogs.
All dogs.
Dogs are barking.
Dogs were barking yesterday, and I took all the favorites on my other one, and I was 4-8, but I was 8-4 on the other side.
There it is.
So that, my friends, is about to win me some cash if. Now, New England's got – I did this before Cam had the Roni.
Yeah.
And so if I'd have picked
– How about Hoyer's two and Stidham's three?
Everybody except like two or three people.
At one point, it was going to be Stidham. It was going to be Stidham versus Cam for the battle. It was going to be Stidham's team. Now he's the third-string quarterback. Hoyer's going first.
Yeah.
You think Hoyer – now, Hoyer is a functional NFL quarterback. Yeah. We know that.
He's a career
backup.
Do you
think the line right now is 10.5 Kansas City over the Patriots?
Yeah, I'm only getting 7. That's what it was before Cam.
Oh, with the Cam.
Before Cam.
We're 3.5 points. Sounds about right.
That's about right.
3.5 to 4. I don't even like New England plus 10.5.
No, I don't either.
I don't either.
But this has been an upset week, so we'll see. And I got Atlanta plus 7, which is not a good thing because they're Atlanta.
Well, they're plus 6 right now. By the way, So Ridley's banged up, Julio Jones is banged up, and Russell Gage is coming off a concussion. Those three wide receivers.
And Atlanta's defense is still there, right?
Let me check. Yeah, it's still Atlanta's defense.
Still Atlanta's defense?
Yeah. Yep. It's not the Texans defense. That's at least a good start.
Oh, is it?
They might be able to stop the run a little bit.
The team that gives up 22-point leads in 3.5 minutes?
It's not optimal.
Yeah, but they're not giving up a record number of yards per game.
They're giving up a record number of points in the fourth quarter.
That's true. What would you rather have? Almost no hope of winning, like the Texans provide, or the disappointment of blowing a lead like the Falcons provide? Which is the worst non-winning formula for you?
I think I'd rather have feel like I could win a game.
Like the Atlanta provides?
Yeah. Like I feel like Atlanta, they probably are like, well, if we didn't suck in the fourth quarter, we could win games. Mm-hmm. When did you feel like the Texans would win any of these games? Honestly,
at halftime of the Steelers, maybe?
This was an 8-point game yesterday. Did you feel like it was a one-score game?
No. If you can't stop the run, it always feels like you're down by more. Easiest thing to do is hand the ball off.
So the two worst teams in time of possession, we found out who was really the worst.
Texans.
By far.
Yeah.
23.5 minutes. That is 13 minutes less than the Vikings.
And the Steelers did that to them. The Colts will do it to them because they run the ball.
No, they're the worst in time of possession in
the NFL.
They're
the worst time of possession. They're worst in – it goes hand-in-hand with being the worst against the run.
Right.
And honestly, I said this before, Mike Zimmer let you off the hook by having Dalvin Cook on the sidelines for first and second down when they're trying to salt the game away. And then the third down, they throw a pass that stops the clock. They handled that so badly, they weren't stopping Dalvin Cook at all, and they pulled him off the field. The Texans should have never even had the chance, but then Deshaun drove him down – Will Fuller, though they had some bust. Georgia Loca was so bad for the Vikings yesterday.
Now you know why Mike Zimmer was so pissed when Harrison Smith got thrown out of the
game. Yeah, Harrison Smith thrown out for target. I've never seen so many targetings as in college football on Saturday. But, yeah, the Texans now 0-4. They got the Jaguars. The Jaguars now are kind of who we thought they were. They beat the Colts in game one, but now the Colts have won 3 straight. And the Jags are not looking as jaggy. They're looking kind of jaggy, actually.
Yeah, janky.
They just, you know, they played a Bengals team who was just eh. But the Texans team were just eh. But the Texans, I think this is the one the Texans finally win. Now, I know I said that all week about Minnesota, but this feels different.
What did you say about the Texans leading up to the game yesterday? Like, there's no way. John? There's no way they could lose
to Minnesota.
I felt
like laying a 3.5 was just... I mean, Minnesota didn't get a practice all week. How can Minnesota, a team who hadn't practiced all week, possibly beat the Texans?
I don't know. Do they still have Dalvin Cook?
Yeah.
Okay.
But he hadn't practiced. He wasn't going to be able to run good if he hadn't practiced.
Again, isn't that practice thing overrated? Yeah. Yeah. It really kind of is. Listen, you don't think that Robinson can run on the Texans this week? You don't think that?
Uh-uh.
Really?
You sure?
You don't think that the Jags are going to be able to run the football.
Let me see how they're running it.
Will the Jags have 140 yards rushing?
Oh, yeah, obviously.
Well, no.
Well, what is Minshew going to do? At some point,
you're not going to be 108, giving up 180 a game because it just doesn't happen over the course of a season.
Now, at some point, you're going to stop. James Robinson, as of late, I didn't love him coming out of college. 17-75 is pretty good last game. 11-46, 16-102, 16-62. Yeah, I mean, if they commit to running the football, he had 17-75 against the Bengals. I'd say that's comparable to the Texans defense. Yeah, I mean, if they commit to the run, they should pop 100 on them easily. The question is not 100, it's do they get to 140?
140.
And they're allowing 180, but...
Right, because don't forget, you got Minshew yards, too.
How much does Minshew run?
He had a couple carries yesterday.
Yeah, I'll bet he runs for about 30 a game.
I think it's lower than that. He's not a big runner. I mean, you see the hair and you think he's a runner, but I don't think he's much of a runner.
What about the mustache?
Yeah, that's what makes you think he's a runner.
Yeah.
Gardner Minshew rushing. Let's look at his rushing stats. 19, 19, 22, 9. He's not going to give you enough.
Well, but he could run for 30 against the Texans.
His long run is 16 this year.
Did you see Kirk Cousins run the football yesterday?
They ran a freaking option again. No, they ran a quarterback lead.
Yeah.
Dude, your edge, I'm glad you brought that up. Your edges are so soft that they scouted you and said, you know what would be the best fourth down carry here? A quarterback lead with Kirk Cousins. That is basically stepping over you in basketball. That's like when Iverson stepped over whoever it was.
Tyronn Lue.
Iverson over Tyronn Lue. That is jumping over. That's jumping over and teabagging. That's Vince Carter in the Olympics teabagging Christian
Weiss.
That's
there's a lot of disrespect
that's
coming
Scottie
from you.
Scottie Pippen dunking on
David
Patrick Robin
Ewing.
Patrick Ewing and then walking over him. That's what a quarterback lead on fourth down with Kirk Cousins is.
But what about Dalvin Cook?
That's a bat flip. They bat flipped on you.
What about Dalvin Cook breaking tackles in the backfield, and then when he got to Vernon Hargraves, just simply shoving him away?
Oh, my God.
He's like, get out of here. Get out of here, Vernon Hargraves.
Oh, my God.
Bitch, stop. That's what he did.
Like, no, he didn't even slap him. He just like, hey, move. I got a score here. Get out of the way. And walked into the end zone.
Run around the corner.
Yeah.
Gosh.
Dude, Vernon
that
Hargraves.
Was disrespectful.
It was. He just patted him out of the way. Move. I got a score here.
Vernon Hargraves has been so bad.
Oh, my goodness.
You know, Dalvin Cook was like, I remember doing this to you when you were at Florida. I'm going to do this again.
You're familiar
to me. I used to do this to you all the time.
Judd, like his little brother. He just slapped him in the
he
head.
He slapped him around at Florida State and Florida, too. He was like, I remember you. Yeah. I'll do it to you here,
watch
too.
Watch this. Which was worse, that or Phillip Buchanan?
Oh, no. Phillip Buchanan's the worst.
Remember he took the...
Phillip Buchanan ran, and it was Willie Parker, and he's like, eh.
Nah. For what?
And you traded a second and third for him. You at least just picked this guy off the scrap heap, Vernon Hargraves.
So that's Bill O'Brien's third best move.
What?
Vernon Hargraves off the scrap heap.
That's such an
third
indictment.
Best move. We're ranking moves.
And we have Deshaun.
Signing Deshaun long term.
Carlos Hyde.
Carlos picking up Carlos Hyde and having him rush for 1,000.
Uh huh. And Vernon Hargraves.
That's third.
But you acquired a.
But you didn't give up a second rounder.
Yeah, that's actually the beneficial. You didn't have to give up a second rounder.
You didn't give him up.
Vernon Hargraves is a better move than Gerrion Conley.
But you acquired an elite left tackle. Where is that move?
Yeah, that's got to be up there.
Two firsts and a second.
Well, it is what it is.
Thanks.
Now you don't have any problems.
Now you got your
backside blindside protection. You're fine now. Everything's
fine.
You
got a problem if you're paying too much for insurance.
You got a big problem. TGS Insurance can help you with that. Take a look at what your homeowner's insurance is. Just go look at it on your app or wherever the case may be. And then text the word money to 232323. Within 15 seconds, the process will be completed and you'll have a firm price from TGS Insurance, and compare that side-by-side with the insurance you have. And it comes with the standard coverages. Now, obviously, they can get you flood insurance. That's different. But TGS Insurance, on average, saves people $900 annually for homeowners insurance. It's A-rated insurance companies that they are aggregating, and they find the lowest rates for you with an A-rated company. Why would you do anything but put more money back in your pocket while getting the same exact coverage? And that's what TGS Insurance can do for you. Go to TGSinsurance.com, but make sure you text the word money to 232323. Text the word money to 232323, and they can even shop for car insurance for you as well if you're going to get out of your bundle and switch today. Make the switch today to TGSinsurance.com.
Stay up to date with the latest innovations hitting the city of Houston by visiting innovationmap.com or follow them on any of your social media platforms. Just search Innovation Map. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Wow. The PFF grades on the Texans' defenses are terrible. Zach Cunningham was a 50.8. That would be under what we had previously.
What was he? 50.8?
A 50.8.
Yeah, I picked under on him last week. What else?
I have to look at the whole roster.
We'll do that in a little bit. Let's get some calls in here because these guys have been waiting. Bill wants to talk about his Longhorns. Hey, Bill.
No, I'm not. someone said with the Longhorns, I'm actually confused because listening to y'all and that screaming lunatic Longhorn Keith, what did anyone expect was going to happen last Saturday? Because I'm not a gambler, so I don't know the words like trend in that. But what's the record between TCU and Texas since TCU came back in the Big 12?
Headed into the game, Patterson was 7-2. Patterson was 7-2 against Longhorns.
Which Texas Longhorn coach in the Big 12 has a winning record against Gary Patterson?
Let's see. I think it's Michael Mitchell. Ted Scowron. I think Rick Bostich did.
What now? So, Dell, this is what Dell said when we were picking the games Friday.
Gary Patterson like, just...
Gary Patterson just beats him.
Yeah, all the time. This is their OU game. Texas has OU.
Yeah.
This is their version of that. It's the big in-state school. They disrespect us. Let's slap them around. He's done it consistently.
He has.
I do think you need to remember.
Texas is back, folks.
Now, this is what Raheel said you would do.
I only did it once. I waited till like 9:20.
All the D-bags are going to be, they're going to put Texas's back.
Yeah.
On. You mean on Twitter? That was a thing. It is. They are back. I mean, they played on Saturday. They're back in action.
I really thought this was their year to win the conference.
Why?
Well, because I didn't think Oklahoma would be all that good.
And you're right about that.
And they're really not. Spencer Rattler just turns over way too much. But I didn't expect Texas defense to be this bad. They were getting gashed on every run. They were getting gashed. Like, their front sucks. Texas front seven is terrible. They're getting smashed up front by TCU. Just completely worked. I mean, every carry was a gain of 5 to 7 yards, 5+. Boom, 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 boom. And
the Duggan run that was the game winner. Holy crap. Where did everybody go? I mean, Duggan is he's an average. He's a good college quarterback. He made him. That's just bad, Texas.
Mm-hmm.
That is just really, really, really bad.
You're playing as though you're not back.
Ellinger needs to come back next year because of why would he come out? Why would he not?
Well, I mean, he's a senior.
Doesn't matter.
He may say, I'm done with this.
Well, what is he going to do? He ain't going to the pros.
He can start, like, he could open up a hedge fund or something like that.
Shop?
Open a hedge fund or maybe.
Sammy sandwiches?
He can do something, yeah. He can do something.
You've seen the NCAA commercial. Most of our athletes are going to something other than professional sports.
He could go
sports.
To maybe that's an enterprise.
What he wants to do.
Just show a picture of Sam Ellinger.
Well, if there are other players you can do, but yeah. He may be one of those guys. Like, look, he said it on Saturday, the university deserves better. So he seems a little down. So he may not, depending on the way the rest of this year goes, he may not be interested in putting in another offseason and 12+ games for Texas. We'll see. It's only game two. Who knows what they'll do the rest of the way.
Mm-hmm.
The Red River Shootout will be fun, I guess.
I remember going to the one where it was John Blake versus, was it Makovic? Who was it after Mac? It wasn't Mac yet, I don't think. I
think it was John Makovic.
I went in 97, and it was DeMond Parker ran for over 300 yards, and Ricky Williams ran for over 200 yards. And those two teams really suck. Like, it was like, oh, Oklahoma versus Texas. It was a fun game back and forth, but those are two bad teams. But I just remember, wow, 300 yards rushing for one guy and like 234 for the other. This is not good run defense.
Mm-hmm.
And I catch myself saying the same thing about Texans and the Longhorns. And the Aggies actually were okay for a while against the run defense. They struggled with the speed of Alabama. Alabama's speed really was a problem. Alabama had so many. Man, Alabama has a lot of defensive players who have come back. They're going to be a problem again. But I'm not ready to say. I think Florida, I don't want to get too far. We need to get these calls in. But I think Florida is a really interesting team in the SEC. Up next?
Did you watch the end of that game?
Florida?
What Will Muschamp did, down two scores, decided to go on an 8+ minute drive that resulted in no points. Their final play was like on the final play, fourth and goal, was with 55 seconds left. You're down two scores, and you take 8 minutes to go down the field and then don't score. down two scores in the fourth quarter, huddled up, took all the time in the world, and even if they had caught the touchdown, which was behind the receiver, they would have had 50 seconds left for an onside kick.
Stop fussing because it's Florida.
No, the point is, Mike Bobo in the offseason said, hurry up offenses and spread. That's crap. We don't like that. And he said, you know what? I'm going to stick to that. 8 minutes to go down in the fourth quarter and did not score a point.
I was fine with it.
Yeah. I'm sure you were. You had a number.
No, they were losers anyway. They're over under. Their line was 18 and a half. It was 14.
Well.
They handled them, though. I mean, Florida's offenses, their defense is,
they're all right.
But their offense is really, really potent. They haven't played great defense so far, but they're pretty potent. Let's get David in here. What's up, David?
Hey, good morning, guys. Hey, what are the chances that Deshaun Watson is a shorter version of Vince Young 2.0? And one more question. Was Matt Schaub pre-injury better at trash time than Deshaun Watson? I'll shut up and listen.
He's asking.
No, Deshaun's a better quarterback. Deshaun's a better quarterback than Vince. Deshaun's got much higher football character. I think his football IQ is better, but we need to start seeing growth from Deshaun. I don't think that's unfair. Deshaun's got to become a better quarterback.
Vince started really, really well and then just fell off the world.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
And guess what? Deshaun's 0-4. What really, really good quarterback? Honestly, doesn't the quarterback make all of the difference in the world?
It's supposed to raise the level of everyone.
Everyone.
Great quarterback.
And he's not. Of course, you got three targets to Brandon Cooks, and he doesn't get a catch. Well, that's the guy that's supposed to – he and Randall Cobb are supposed to replace
D-Hop. Deshaun was kind of inaccurate on a couple of those throws.
Yeah, Brandon Cooks. Yeah, he was. Yeah, he was. No, he – hey.
I mean, Greg Jennings –
it's as much on Deshaun as anybody.
Greg Jennings was laying some stuff out, though. He was like, man, Deshaun's got to do this. Although he did say – at one point, he said, look, that's not a good throw because it was a bad throw to Cooks, I think, and he missed him. But he said, you know – when you have that, and this is my number one concern, when you lose your safety blanket and you know you can throw it anywhere around him and he's going to catch it, Deshaun right now doesn't know what he wants to do.
There was a guy on Randall Cobb yesterday, and Deshaun threw it, and it was just batted away. And I'm going to tell you this, 50-50 balls were 80-20 mm-hmm. with D-Hop. They're not even going to be 20% with Randall Cobb or Brandon Cooks.
They're smaller frame guys.
Yeah. And if the guy is on them,
I mean, relative to the way Hop plays,
yeah.
I mean, Randall Cobb's not a small guy. I think he's 190 something. He's not a small guy, but relative to Hop and his catch space, it's not even close.
The arm,
every time Deshaun snapped the ball, there were times he knew he was going to D-Hop and it didn't matter.
Yep.
Now when he snaps it, he doesn't have that. He doesn't know what he's going to do, and I see him really struggling with some of the. With knowing where he wants to go with some of his progressions. And that's a big, big concern. But we already know, and for those of you calling who are going to get upset, the problem is the head coach / general manager, but it's also some of Deshaun's play. The run defense is the worst in the league, allowing over 180, and there are no first and second round picks. So how are you going to improve this unit of suck? This fart in a bottle that is your run defense, how are you going to improve that?
Fart in a bottle.
That's what you get. It's a fart in a bottle.
Mm.
It just sits there. You don't think it's going to be all that bad. And then all of a sudden, when Sunday comes, oh my God, this is terrible.
Stinky.
This is terrible. It's a fart in an elevator.
Mm. Well, we all know.
And Bill O'Brien just got off.
You ever do that?
Yeah, I mean,
I don't
no
do
one
that.
Likes
it's rude.
I've been the recipient of it.
You've been crop dusted in the elevator?
Yeah, I've been the recipient of getting in like, oh man. And the person there, I could see they're like, oh, that's they wanted to distance themselves from it. If I were a person on an elevator and somebody blasted one and got out the floor right before it stopped to me, as soon as they got on, like, it smells like a fart in here, but it was the guy that got off on the floor before. It was not me. Just say it out loud. Say it loud and proud. Say it with your chest. That fart was not me.
Hmm. What about Carrie? Carrie, fart in a bottle? Nice analogy.
Yeah, that was tremendous. you guys continue to bury the leads on this Texans team. All negative, no positives, so I thought I'd call in with a few positives, if that's okay.
Sure.
Lance, you're a numbers guy, correct?
Yeah. That's what people say.
That's what people tell you. In the Steelers game, who won the first half? Who won the first half?
Texans.
Just out of curiosity. Texans did. In the Vikings game, who won the second half? Who won it?
Texans?
It was 17-14. Let me answer that one for you.
Okay.
17-14. We are winning first halves, second halves, halves everywhere. And I got something else for you guys.
Mm-hmm.
Who has paid every single week against the spread?
Oh, yeah, the other side of the Texans.
That's the Texans. And let me tell you something else. If that's not enough for everybody that needs to understand the positives, the second half of the game yesterday, the David Johnson fumble, it was that second half line was Vikings minus 3.5. If he would have went in, Texans would have blown it. And guess what they didn't do? They didn't blow it. They gave us the money. These guys are giving us the money left and right. They're winning first halves or winning second halves. I don't know what you want, but all this fart in the bottle stuff needs to stop.
No.
Thank you.
Needs to keep going. Fart in the bottle 2020.
These are positives. We're going to keep the positivity rolling here on ESPN 97.5. I'm positive Jeff Aronoff is getting the job done at Absolute Marble and Granite. That's what I'm positive of. And you, my friends, can take advantage. This is so nice outside. This is the time when you're going to be outside in your kitchen, your outdoor kitchen, your outdoor patio. Jeff can put in all of the patio flooring. He can put in the outdoor kitchen, making it just so nice with the stone and the brick and everything else, or however you want. And he'll design that for you as well. He can come over to your home, and you don't need an architect. All you need is Jeff Aronoff there right now waiting for you to get this job done at 20% off because you're an ESPN 97.5 listener. Look, you want to improve that business, you want to improve that home, you got to, people. You're not going to get, if you don't improve, if you don't upgrade, then you're not going to get back on your home whenever you sell it, or your business. If your business is shoddy, needs new vanities, needs new countertops, whatever the case may be, Jeff Aronoff is here for you. You give him a call and let him come and give you that quote. 713-880-2822, 713-880-2822, Absolute Marble and Granite.
ESPN 97.5. Now you can tune into your favorite ESPN 97.5 shows on the all-new ESPN 92.5. Thanks to presenting sponsor Carbach Brewing. To celebrate, crack your favorite Carbach beer and dial up ESPN 92.5. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5, 713-780-3776, 713. We got a full board here. We got people that want to come in here, and for whatever reason, I mean, we got a lot of positivity going this morning, so we don't want to hear any complaining. My Texans aren't very good, their own food. It makes my pee-pee hurt. Oh, yeah? Well, last time Bill O'Brien started 0-3, guess what? They reeled off 9 straight wins.
Yeah, but this is 0-4.
Yeah, but 0-4 is maybe 10 straight wins then.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I mean, it's possible because
you don't know that it was not going to happen.
You're right, because there are 12 games to go, so 10 in a row is possible.
Yeah, they could do it right starting right now. So I don't want to hear they suck. Bill O'Brien's terrible.
Would you?
He doesn't make any good money. He trained his E-hop.
How much money would you put on 10 in a row?
Well, wouldn't it? How much do you think that'll pay?
Well, how much would you?
Oh, and guess what? Oh, really? Because what do you think the Texans? What do you think their number is against the Jaguars this week?
I know they're favored.
What? How much?
What's the number?
I'm going to say it's 4.
Higher.
6?
Higher.
We're past key number 6, and it can't be more than 7.
6.5.
Okay.
6.5. Oh, do you think crappy teams are 6.5-point favorites? No.
What were the Texans' favorite against the Vikings?
4, but that doesn't matter.
Okay.
That was the Vikings.
You know, there is a rule of thumb that I used to use when I handicapped. If I had a bad team laying more than 3 points, mm-hmm. and sometimes it was more than 2.5 points, I just on instinct, I think, I think just on just a general rule of thumb was going to be you just take the points. Bad teams should not be laying points. And when you really go through life looking at that year in and year out, it usually, because it means if a bad team's laying points, two bad teams are playing. When two bad teams are playing, the other bad team says, hey, this is our chance to win.
This is a bad team.
Hey,
we're playing a bad team.
We got them circled. So right now, are the Texans a good team? Are they an average team or are they a bad team?
They're
scale of 1 to 10, what do you think they are, regardless of record or including record?
I don't think they're a bad team. I don't think they're a bad team.
Good team is 8 through 10.
I'm
average
stupid,
team
but I don't think they're a bad
is going to be, average team would be 6, 7, 5, 6, 7, and bad team is 1 through 4.
What are the reasons you don't think they're a bad team?
Because I think that they're better than their show. But first of all, they played all good teams except the Vikings, mm-hmm. right? And the Vikings aren't a bad team either. I think the Vikings started out, the Vikings could have beat the Titans, and they didn't. They lost by a point. I don't think the Vikings are as bad as their record was.
They got beat by the Colts. And I can't remember who their first game was.
The Packers?
Packers.
Yeah.
So they yeah. played some legit teams.
Yeah, they have. Yeah, they have. So I don't think they're all that bad. And I don't think
are
the Texans are.
An average? Are the Vikings an
I think
average
the Texans
team?
Go on a nice run, one in a row here.
So the Texans are an average
well,
team?
Well, they have to.
Why do they have to?
Well, the Texans have to. They can't start 0-5.
Why
we
not?
Were already talking about this is your chance to be 2-3. Now their best chance after this run is 1-4. They cannot afford to go 0-5.
What do you mean?
Well, I don't know what I mean because it doesn't like
does it
it's not going to change anything.
Yeah.
They're not making the playoffs at 0-4.
Yeah, so there is that extra draft. I mean, there's that extra playoff spot, so maybe it helps. But why can't they go 0-5?
No one's listening to you because you want our pick.
Yeah. No, but I'm asking. No. I know it seems like, oh, they can't go 0-5. Why not?
Because if they do, then they're going to be even harder to make the playoffs.
Okay, so you still have hope they're making the playoffs.
Yep.
Okay, I'm just trying to figure out why 0-5
because when
is
they were 1-3, the other two times under Bill O'Brien, they went 9-7 playoffs, 11-5
playoffs.
But
they're playoffs. Not 1-3. Yeah. They're 0-4.
Yeah, but this is just a
they
chance
went,
for him
when
to
they
show.
Were 0-3, they were 9-7 and 11-5.
They are 0-4.
They were
1-3.
What?
They were 1-3.
No, they went 9-7. They've been 0-3 twice, I think.
They're 1-3 twice, 0-4 once. The other two 1-3s were 9-7, 11-5. They made the playoffs both years.
Yeah,
so,
but they're
well,
no,
they were 0-3 in those.
Yeah, and they won the fourth game. That's why people were pointing to the fourth game.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
But they're not 1-3.
Did you guys read Drew Doherty's piece?
Was it positive?
Oh, yeah. They're not quitting.
There's still work to do, right?
Drew Doherty wrote a piece.
Hey, I don't feel bad.
He's got to write that.
I'm not going to blame Drew Doherty. He's
got
to write.
He's got
to write that article.
He's got to.
It's got to suck.
It's his job. But there's no quitting this team, Dell. I read it.
I don't think they're going to quit, but I'm just trying to figure out. I just am just stuck on why can't they go 0-5?
Because it's the Jaguars. Everybody knows you beat the Jaguars.
So what? The Jaguars beat the Colts earlier this year.
Yeah, but that doesn't matter. LSU Brian is here. What's going on, LSU Brian?
Hey, good morning, guys. So I got a couple things about some coaching searches for the Rockets and the Texans, which I don't think the Texans are getting rid of O'Brien anyways. But so as far as the Rockets, I heard y'all mention Lucas is now a candidate. Man, the perfect guy that I don't think's getting any love is Calvin Sampson. He's got a relationship with James. They respect each other. And that's Tillman's guy. So I don't understand why he's not getting more love. And also for the Texans, I believe it was last week or something, people had mentioned Dabo Swinney. I don't think Dabo's an NFL coach. Everyone was speculating, you know, they don't want a college guy to come up to the pros for the Texans. But I still think, and this was mentioned last year, but I still think Lincoln Riley is probably the best guy for Deshaun. I mean, he comes in, O'Brien don't want to run the guy. I'm not sure why. But Lincoln's had some mobile guys, and I just think Lincoln fits with Deshaun. And if Deshaun's your most important player on the team, which he is, then you need someone that's going to get him in a position to be better. So those two guys, to me, I think it sounds like a good fit for both teams.
Yeah,
I'm surprised Sampson hasn't been mentioned more because I think Kelvin Sampson would make. And you don't have to worry about a buyout clause because Tillman Fertitta owns both teams. But here's the thing with Deshaun. Did you notice we hadn't talked about this? And Chris, somewhere, somebody, Chris Myers, who did play-by-play, was listening to Houston radio at some point because he said, Houston fans really want to see Deshaun running more. Like, he mentioned that multiple times.
Listen to this show.
The fans in the city want. So anyway, Deshaun started taking off to the right, and did you see he could have run for a first down, and then he threw it,
yep.
And I think it was incomplete or a short gain. And you had Brock Huard said, boy, right here, you just kind of, I know, Chris, what you're thinking, run the ball, just run it. And he could have run it. I don't think it's smart to just have Deshaun running the football all the time with called running plays, because if he gets hurt, you will lose every game.
Yeah.
You'll lose every game. But, yeah, now that's not what we're trying. Not trying to lose every game.
You can tell. Even if he doesn't get hurt, you're losing every game.
Currently, yes. Currently, that is the case. But it is okay for Deshaun if he gets flushed from the pocket, hurts people with your legs.
Did you see, well, the one time he had to throw the guy over his back, and then he had to run around.
That was an incredible play. He still can do those things.
And then he ran up the sideline.
3 yards, all that work.
He didn't even get a first down.
But as opposed to a sack.
Yeah, it helps. But
what would happen with Matt Schaub? Well, sack, well, see? Yeah. Deshaun's better.
Well, no one's questioning that. Who was fighting that fight?
That was brought up before the game.
By who?
By you, I think.
No, I didn't.
I think you said that last week.
I didn't say Matt Schaub was better.
Let's compare Matt Schaub and Deshaun and their athleticism.
I never said that.
I think Deshaun's much more athletic.
Well, you're on the right side of that one.
Thank you.
Right side of history for you.
That's right.
I'm on the right side of history in the Premier League this year. Everton, top table.
Have you played any of the big clubs yet?
Yep, Brighton and Holborn and Albany or something Wolverton? Like that. We haven't played the Wolves yet.
No.
Tottenham? You tell me.
They won it a couple years ago. They're not good this year. They've never won the Premier League.
3 years ago, they almost won it.
They didn't win it. They almost won Champions League final. Yeah, they lost to Liverpool.
That's all that matters.
How did you end up against Chelsea? How's that working out?
They haven't played Chelsea yet.
Last time they played them, they smashed them. They haven't played in the big clubs yet.
And you know who we play? It's the Merseyside Derby this week. I need to find out where we're going to play. I mean, where I'm going to go watch it.
They just gave up 7 goals, Liverpool, over the weekend.
He said it's unbelievable how many soccer fans he's got.
Yeah, I bet.
Saturday and Sunday morning.
I can't wait for this matchup because we got a good young team. Richarlison and Calvert-Lewin and James Rodriguez had a couple goals. It's better to talk about the Texans.
James is like, it's better to talk about the Texans. He's not young anymore.
Let's talk Everton football.
Right.
Let's go to Cormed, and we're going to get Lane, Jim, Alan. You guys are all coming in.
And then we're going to talk. We're going to talk Aston Villa versus Liverpool up next.
No. Even Texans football talk.
How about
is
Leeds United?
Wow.
No, Everton's better than even Texans.
And Juventus is quarantining because one of their guys is positive.
What about your heart, Lance?
Cormed Solutions is a company. This is very, very important because we've never seen anything like this. The ability for you to go get an echocardiogram or stress test or EKG without having to go to the hospital. You can go to a pediatric and adult cardiologist and Dr. Burkholder with Cormed Solutions. He will give you the tests and then assess your heart health. Now, this is the cardiac is the number one killer. It's past cancer. That's the number one killer of Americans. Why in the world you wouldn't get your heart checked out to find out if you need to have any medicine, if you need to have treatment? Why would you not do that in advance? And now with COVID and even asymptomatic and mild symptoms of COVID creating myocarditis with so many Americans, there's never been a more important time for you to check out your heart health. It makes sense. And I'm talking about from the very young kids up to as old as you want to call it. You can come in there and get your heart health checked out. They will also go on the road to you and take their mobile units and go there and do the testing there. CoreMedSolutions.com, CoreMedSolutions.com.
ESPN 97.5.
I'm in love with the cocoa. I'm in love with the cocoa.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Before we go on, I mean, we kind of buried the lead. Sergio Garcia Eagles the 14th, and then birdies the 18th to win the Sanderson Farms. Did you guys think Sergio?
I didn't think this was going to be his year for the Sanderson Farms International.
It is a remarkable turnaround considering how he played last year in the Sanderson Farms International.
Well, it's a remarkable. That's the first time he's had the lead in an event, I think, since the Masters.
Is he still taking forever to putt?
Yeah, he takes a long time. He really kind of does.
You know what? A marketing guy told me this about Sam Ehlinger. To your point about coming back to school, because everybody who plays football this year, even if you're a senior, you can go back again. He makes this point, and this is a marketing guy. He says, Ehlinger can make money at Texas next year. Over $1 million in marketing. He's not making that much, but guaranteed. But this guy is in marketing, and he says if Sam Ehlinger puts his... Now, that is the thing. In Austin,
yeah.
Sam Ehlinger can make money in Austin.
Is he losing some fans right now, though? And if he loses, if they lose again next year with him at quarterback?
It's not the same. College players don't take that same kind of heat. I mean, they can.
Yeah, they do.
But I don't think Sam is playing terrible. He's not playing great.
In Austin?
Every year is a new year in college. You know how it goes. There's renewed hope. Sam would make money in Austin.
Do you think people are as in love with him now as they were after the Georgia game?
I don't know. Who's the most marketable player in Austin?
Sam Ehlinger here for Hula Hut. He can speak for Hula Hut in Austin.
Yeah.
He can speak for everything.
Yeah, he can do plenty of stuff. I guess.
When I needed a new pickup truck, I went to Carruthers Brother Ford or whatever. He could easily do that and get a free truck out of it.
Yeah.
Because no. That doesn't go into effect next year, does it?
It's 2022.
Yeah.
2022 that you're going to be able to do that. So, no.
I think Florida starts earlier than that.
But you don't.
Right?
Wait a minute. Sam comes back. You don't think he's getting his handshakes? Okay. All right.
Well, they might say, hey, it depends on how this year goes. They may not want him back. Like fans. I don't know about the team itself.
Well, right. Well, but they still, that kid is still, the kid that's coming in is still 2 years away.
I know, but they have guys who they recruited in between that point. It just depends. People might just want fresh blood. All right, Sam, that's enough already.
Well, he threw a couple of passes, and I'm sure that Tom Herman couldn't have been pleased with. I know that.
Well, going 17 for 36. No coach is going to be pleased with that.
No.
Especially not in that system where it's supposed to be a highly efficient system.
Let's get Jim in here. Enough Longhorns. We're talking Aggies now. What up, Jim?
Hey, guys. Hey, hope all's well. Typically, I call you guys to talk to Astros. So, real quick comment on the Stros. I hope these past few days, Altuve has something clicked to where he can be the Altuve of old and kind of somewhat carry this team when needed in the playoffs because we desperately need them. But anyway, to the Aggies. So that gentleman that called earlier, the Longhorn, Eric, I believe, he could have called himself Aggie Eric and he would have basically been spot on with the problem with the Aggies. We've got a bunch of kids at A&M that are more interested in what their social media and brand is. Case in point, I think his name is Eric Jones, our secondary kid that hurt himself right before the half. If you go check his Twitter timeline, somehow it came across my line, and during half, somebody tweeted on his behalf or from his account that he was okay. I'm like, you know, I want him to be okay, but I don't need you to tell me during a game on Twitter. And I just think there's something about the athletes at A&M right now. We need dogs too. I think the last dog we had was Garrett. I think that 2012 team when someone came in and we beat Alabama had, you know, NFL and just some badass guys, but we are still not there yet. Watching that game this weekend, I really felt like that was a game that someone team right there. We looked a step slow. We just looked overmatched. And I just don't know what it's going to take. Is it going to take getting rid of, you know, are we going to look differently when Mon's gone and we've got, these young, quote, five-star quarterbacks that we've recruited? And maybe something's going to be different, but it was very, very disappointing to not be competitive. As an Aggie, you know, I want to be, you know, we're going to be looking up at Alabama each year, but I don't want to be looking up through about three or four or five teams. Right. I want us to be right behind them and us, you know, in parallel with LSU and then everyone else behind us. But we're still not there, and it's frustrating.
No,
those are my thoughts on that.
It is amazing how similar, right?
Here's what you found out, though. And well, first of all, you need team speed. First of all, defensive back speed. You need that, and that's got to be a priority. I know you've got a lot of bulk coming in. I know you've got two huge tackles and a big tight end that's coming in that can block.
Yeah, I think he meant Jalen Jones.
And you got to get that. But I think you're finding out that Kellen Mond is not the answer. Kellen Mond has not improved. You're going to go with a guy that's inexperienced. You know, I didn't think that. I thought Haynes King played pretty well for, you know, walking in against Alabama. Now they were playing soft, and then he threw the pick at the end. But you know, I don't know that Haynes King is the answer. But you certainly you know that Kellen Mond's not.
Haynes King's got a bit of a Case McCoy face, but that's for a different story.
Yeah.
But outside, he reminds me of Case McCoy. But I get what you're saying about Kellen Mond. But Kellen Mond has been a problem in the past. He wasn't the problem on Saturday. The Aggies have a problem that the Longhorns have. They don't affect the quarterback with pressure, and they can't cover.
Yeah,
those are huge in college football today.
Yeah.
You can bring all the tackles on your side to protect in the tight end. That's fine. But if you can't cover Alabama and you can't pressure their quarterback, it don't matter because Alabama's going to run. They're always going to have better players than you, generally speaking. And if you can't affect them with a couple elite pass rushers, you're just going to let Mac Jones sit back there and go find Mechie and Waddle and Devontae Smith. I don't care who you have at quarterback on the other side.
Yeah.
You can't affect the quarterback. That's got to change for them.
Yeah, you absolutely do. You absolutely do. And they've got to have a lot more talent. They're not even close to talent. The talent that Alabama has, they're just not close.
Now, A&M, get them off the bus. Someone's talked about this. They look like Alabama in terms of size. They look like a team in the SEC. They've built it to that point. Jimbo has recruited, and even some before him, has recruited guys that fit the profile. But at the some of the most important positions, they're still lacking.
Where's Devontae Smith and Jalen Waddle? Well, they don't have those.
Well, I don't know that they don't have those. I just know Jimbo plays a system that doesn't certainly situate.
I watched that whole game.
Jalen Waddle's a first-round pick. They don't have one of those.
No.
They don't,
and Devontae Smith either.
That's fine, but Jimbo doesn't particularly play a system that accentuates your wide receiver play. That's why young guys don't get on the field for him early. He forced some of those guys in because they've had some opt-outs. But young guys don't play early for him or play well is because of that system. Alabama, you can be a freshman and play right away now because the system is friendly to quarterback and wide receiver.
Whoever's the best is the best. Nick Saban will put somebody on the bench. Like, if you're not good enough, and there are other guys who come up and finally play as seniors and end up getting to the NFL, you know he's already created a system where he says, okay, he looks for a certain kind of guy. You got to have – he only wants dogs. And with dogs, you do get – there's a little edge, and sometimes it can cross the line. But it is amazing to me that Texas and A&M are in this – it feels like the same predicament. I joked to my wife and one of her good friends yesterday, because she's an Aggie and my wife is a Longhorn. I'm like, you guys had the same week last week where you get unimpressive wins against inferior competition, and then you get smoked by teams that – well, now A&M was supposed to lose – but you don't come away feeling good about it. And Texas, you feel even worse probably because that was one that you felt like you had to win when you circled that. And yet you're not better than Texas, than TCU. You can't legitimately sit there and say we're better than TCU. And I don't know how good A&M is because they looked bad against Vandy, but that was game one. The second game, the second game against Alabama, they did have some moments.
Well, the interception helped, the tip ball, that helped immensely. It changed momentum. Mm-hmm. They went and tied it up. But after that moment, it was an ass-whooping.
Well, it was 21-14. They were driving on 4th-and-2. The guy who actually had a really good game, forgot his name, Anaya Smith, he dropped the ball.
Yeah.
That could have kept the drive alive, and who knows. Now, they weren't going to win, but that changed momentum. Alabama went down and scored and really took all the wind out of A&M's sails. Yeah. I think Florida's played really well offensively. That's kind of determines how the season's going to go for A&M. You find a way to win that game somehow, some way at home. You feel a little bit better. You go, okay, we're not Alabama, but who the hell is?
Right. Well,
it's going to be rough, though.
It ain't going to be easy.
No.
Who's next? Alan. Let's get Alan in here. Hey, Alan.
Hey, morning.
How's it going, man?
Good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, love your show, man.
Thanks, Alan.
Hey, do me a favor. What is your? I get your opinion on if the Texans receivers, tight ends, and running backs go to old school football where they don't wear no damn batting gloves and have their bare hands. You think they'd catch the ball a little better? I'll hang up and listen. Appreciate the show. Thank you.
I don't think so. I think you do need to. Well, I would keep wearing batting gloves.
I would do. I don't know. Why not try something different?
Because you're in the playoffs again.
No, they're talking about the Texans wide receivers.
Oh.
You're not in the
so
playoffs.
So you want the
wide receivers and
you
10
mean
running backs.
Not, I'm sorry. Say that again. You're not in the playoffs?
Yeah, the Texans aren't in the playoffs yet? Right now.
Can you say yet? Yeah, right now. Good.
Right now.
Yeah, not yet. Not right now. They're not
what
in the playoffs.
Chances, what are the odds for an 0-4 team to make the playoffs?
Well, hasn't it only happened once? Then the Chargers do it, and that was it?
Yeah, Chargers did it with Marty Schottenheimer. No. They went 11-5,
no,
right?
No, it was with the Stan Humphrey team, right?
Oh, was that far? The one that went to the Super Bowl?
I think so.
No way. They went to the Super Bowl, did they? Why are you looking this up? They're not going. They're not doing anything.
I want to see what the odds are.
The Colts are going to beat them. The Titans are going to beat them.
San Diego, 0-4, made the playoffs.
What year was that?
It was...
Don't say 96.
They were crushed at Miami the following week. They beat Chargers, top the AFC West rival.
Bobby Chiefs. Ross was the head coach, 1992.
Bobby Ross.
That was a couple years before they went to the Super
Bowl. His name Bobby Ross, playing some good football.
Yeah, they went 0-4.
Dude, Bobby Ross was an NFL head coach. That's crazy.
He made a Super Bowl.
I know. He had Stan
Humphries.
Yeah. Stan Humphries.
Bobby Ross.
Yeah, and they got waylaid by San Francisco. Let's get Lane in here. He's been waiting a long time. Lane, what's up? I don't know if we answered your question. I don't think it would hurt with or without gloves, though.
I'm pretty sure they're not going to be wearing gloves.
Okay. They're going to be wearing gloves.
Did you see this?
All right. What Lane?
It worked for my granddad generation, like Gail Sayers, all of them. But, the thing is, there is one positive. Despite us having to deal with COVID, tightening up, we're still in first place, and the Texans have fallen further behind, so that's positive. But the thing is, I do like Deshaun Watson. I want his only two losses to be against us. The thing is, you got to build it like the Panthers had back in 2015. You have a great defense, great front seven, so Cam didn't have to play from behind, and you got a good running game that steadies that. You talk about, we don't have DeAndre Hopkins. The Panthers didn't have great wide receivers then either, but they had a simple system where Cam could thrive, you know what I'm saying? Solid running game. Right now, the Texans don't have any of that. That's the main thing that they need. And if they can get that, they'll be right back on top of the division. But keep Bill O'Brien in there, man. I appreciate it. He's doing a great job for y'all.
He's not doing a great job.
Titans fan.
He's not doing a great job. Titans fan.
Yeah, just keep it simple. You don't have to have great receivers. You don't have to have anything. You got a great front seven.
Nah, for Deshaun. Deshaun had number one. Front seven. But Deshaun, the Texans right now?
Right now, have a great front seven. It's going to come out this week. Oh, you think James Robinson's running? I'm going to go under.
Under what?
181 yards per game. 181. I'm going
under. You're out on the limb saying he won't rush for 181 yards?
181. Huh. That's right. So they're gonna lower their yards per game given up on the ground.
That's going to happen.
Yes.
That's going to happen. The Jags aren't going for over 140 yards. I'm going to predict the Jags don't go for 110.
You sure you want to do that?
I'm eight in the box the whole game.
You want to leave the Texans corners on island?
You want to leave DJ Chark out there?
And LaVisca
go ahead.
Chenault?
Minshew Mania, see what you got. Do you know what Deshaun did against Alabama? Do I need to tell you again?
Did you know that Gardner Minshew was going to be a backup at Alabama at one point until he transferred to Washington State?
Yeah, he transferred.
It all connects.
Pac-12 versus Deshaun put 400 yards on Alabama twice in a row and beat them one year.
What does that have to do?
He's a great player because of what he did to Alabama.
That's how good he is. Well, did you watch the game?
Yeah.
The national championship game? Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
If it turns into a shootout, Deshaun's got you. Bill O'Brien is used to getting into shootouts and winning.
The Chargers won 11 games.
And Jack Easterby,
in
I see you. You put this team together
after
too, Jack.
0-4. No team has ever won 10 games after going 0-4. And the 2004 Bills won 9 games. That's the only team that won 9 games. So the Texans would have to be having a historic run here.
To win 10 games.
To win 10 games. Do you think, to win 9. It would, the only one other, only two other teams have won 9.
Do you think it, they have it in them, John?
Yeah. Have you seen, did you see Deshaun against Alabama?
I did.
Okay.
I mean, he's not playing Alabama
every week. No, he's actually playing just Jacksonville.
Yeah.
He's not even playing
Alabama.
Who
would you rather play, Alabama or Jacksonville?
As an NFL team?
Jacksonville.
As an NFL team, I'd rather play Alabama. If I was an actual NFL team myself, I'd rather play Alabama.
No one's ever said that. They'd rather play Alabama than Jacksonville.
From an NFL team perspective, yeah, I'd rather play the college team.
That's you.
Says you.
Dumb.
No, I know.
Who's a better coach?
When you guys say
Marone or Saban?
Saban. But,
thank you. Good night. Over.
But who's playing in the NFL?
Doesn't matter.
I like when you guys say, says you. Yeah, I know. I said it. Thank you.
You just said it. And you should talk about Texas Star Grill Shop, Lance, and my grill. DCS.
Yeah, it's nice, isn't it? They've got the very best gas grills, wood pellet grills, Pits and Spits. Pits and Spits is a local company, and they make maybe the most durable and yet highly effective wood pellet grill on the entire market. Now, Traeger's fantastic as well. Green Mountain, Memphis. This is what I need to tell you. When you stop in, don't be intimidated because it's a one-stop shop at Texas Star Grill Shop. They will answer your questions for you, and they'll help you find the grill that's right for you based on your price point, based on how you like to cook. Maybe you like to control that fire, and a green egg or a Kamado Joe is going to be right for you. You know, that's the ceramic cookers where you control the fire. I'm just telling you now, from pizza ovens all the way down to meat thermometers and world-class championship rubs, they have you covered. The best grills with the fall sale and every single amenity you can possibly imagine. This should be your stop for your barbecue needs. You always go into Texas Star Grill Shop. Three locations in Houston, and they got another one on the way. Well, around Houston, Spring, Katy, and also right there at 59 and Greenbrier. TexasStarGrillShop.com.
To the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net.